Hello everyone, listening on Spotify and watching on YouTube. As most of you know, we're starting a new series at the moment called Behind the Broker, which is involving all of the people that help out brokers in their day-to-day and proving them to be more successful. So today I've got Rosalia Lazara from Manuka Media. So hi Ros, how's it going?
Hi Marcus, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, really well, thank you. So if we could just start, if you could just tell me about your kind of your journey to where you are now, would be really interesting and why it came about and how.
Yeah, sure. Firstly, by the way, I love this new podcast idea. I love that you're giving a highlight to the people that do work really hard behind the scenes to help a broker do their job. And obviously their biggest job is to give advice, but there's so many other things in the background that a business owner or a sole advisor needs.
Can I just say why that came about? Because I speak to so many new brokers and they know they have to give the technical advice, but they don't know about people like you and they don't know what they actually have to do to drum up leads, because they've been taught to be a mortgage advisor, but there's so much more to the business. So thank you for that, but sorry, carry on. That's how it came about.
It's such a good idea. It's I'll talk to you about my idea in the future as well. But I really love this. And so thank you for having me on the show. So what do I do? So Manuka Media is 2 years old, and we actually launched in a different name. So we launched as The Content Hive. So anyone listening might have known me from The Content Hive, which is now called Manuka Media. We launched in the middle of the pandemic in 2020. So my background is being a business development manager in the financial services industry. I've worked for a commercial broker where 7 years ago, where that was my first job where I started. I was doing commercial bridging, development, second charges, all for the intermediary market, working with clubs and networks to help their brokers get access to this specialist lending side of things. And then after doing that for a few years, I then went to work for an actual lender. So I wanted to see the lending side rather than the packaging side. And that's where I was working for 2 years, doing specialist lending in, again, commercial bridging, a lot of resi as well. And then the pandemic hit. So that's when I had to completely change my whole career. I very, very much wanted to stay in financial services, but I had to think of a new way to add value to the industry. I knew I didn't want to go back as a BDM in the post-COVID world. And I've always wanted to start my own business, but just had a million excuses not to do it. And this was the perfect reason to, you know, the decision was made for me. I had no secure job, no paycheck, no car, no mobile phone, no company laptop. I had nothing to kind of make me feel successful
I posted about that this morning saying some of the best businesses I know were built out of necessity or a tough market, which is what came out of COVID, what came out of 2008. You know, those tough times did make some fantastic businesses, because you still have to earn a crust, don't you? And then all of a sudden you find something that you're really good at. So it's a great way to start.
Yeah, exactly. So that's exactly what happened. I then realized during the middle of the pandemic, so why did I start this business? I could have started, you know, I think going into a PPE business might have been more profitable at the time, but actually this took off pretty fast and I was really scared by, excited by that. But the reason it took off so fast is because during lockdown, advisors quickly realized what everyone's been doing online these past decade or these past 20 years, actually. And actually, they had to catch up really, really quickly. They thought, oh, that's what you've all been doing. That's where you've all been. Actually, they got scared thinking, well, I'm not visible. I'm not out there. My competitor is out there doing videos. And my clients can't just walk into the shop or the office anymore. How do I stay connected? And that's where it caught on. And that's, you know, how I entered the business, how I launched the business, was in that kind of marketplace, which had a huge, you know, relevant place in the market at the time.
So just break down, people that don't know, what is it you do for the broker? What does Manuka do from kind of start to finish? I know obviously you've mentioned there about the video side of things, but tell me about what you add.
So the mission for the business is to create financial educators and influencers. So this is to give a voice to the broker. So we help the everyday broker put themselves out there on social media. We give them the confidence and the tools, the step-by-step guidance, the strategy, the content ideas. We basically give them the full social media and marketing package, whether it's DIY that they want to learn how to do it themselves. But really what I'm mostly famous for is for doing it for you. So lots of people go to courses or lessons on, hey, do this, do that, you know, a marketing course. But then they're still, when the call is finished, they're like, yeah, but actually, how do I do it? So yes, we provide all the services such as content writing, social media management, websites, but mainly content creation like video and, you know, how to put content out there on social media, basically.
And talk to me about how important that is for brokers. I mean, I know because my business runs on social media, but talk to me about, for instance, brokers that say they're too scared, or you must hear this all the time, but tell me about the importance that it has been for your clients and you know, future clients that are listening, that the importance of getting your face out there.
Well, we always say two things, right? Out of sight, out of mind, and people buy from people. So if your face is not out there, if your business is not out there, and you're not advocating for your own business, if you're not showing up as your best self on social media, then why would anyone take any notice of you or even buy from you? You know, what do we have to look at when you say, I'm the best broker? How? Show me. What evidence is there that you're good, that you're engaging, that you know what you're talking about, right? So a website is just going to be static. A business card is going to be static. Not, you know, you give me a business card at a networking event, it goes to the bottom of my bag, right? There's nothing there that pulls it from the bottom of my bag up to the surface. So, but if you connect with someone at a networking event and you exchange a business card and then you add them on LinkedIn and you follow them on Instagram, except that exposure, that multi-channel exposure that you have with your connections, helps you stay more current, more relevant, and more memorable.
I read something yesterday that it takes 3 to 7 touch points with someone before they're even bear any resemblance of trusting you. So how you think if just your website's going to work or not your face? Or I also found out yesterday that it's only the second highest page on your website is Meet the Team, because people want to see you.
Yeah, exactly.
I do it because I'm a nosy recruiter, so of course I look at Meet the Team. But I didn't realise that the general public, second highest place they look is they want to have a look at you. So it makes complete sense.
Exactly that. And I think the reason I say that we are trying to create financial educators and influencers is because we're not here to work with any company that just has a budget and says, here you go, Roz, manage my social media pages and get me some leads. Like, that is a huge turn off for me. That is not what I wake up for in the mornings. Leads are a byproduct of brand awareness and marketing yourself, of course, but we should stop looking at people like leads. We should start really looking at them like connections, like sidelines, colleagues, friends.
Relationships,
all about relationships. Yeah. And you wouldn't go into a networking event, although there are some people that do this, that just throw business cards at you and they're like, hey, buy from me, I'm a mortgage broker. And that's a massive turn off on social media as well. So what I help advisors do is really come across more consultative, more about adding value, but also look at what's going on in the market right now. Right at the time we're recording this, yesterday the Bank of England rate, there was a rate hike. Who's the first one to go out there and make a commentary on it? Who's the first one to be the face of the news? Who's the calm voice of the industry? Who's going to add value and help you and hold your hand through these turbulent times? So that's exactly what we're trying to create, is thought leaders in the industry.
It's funny with the Bank of England base rate one, because obviously my business is mortgage brokers, much the same as yourself. So all I'm connected to is mortgage brokers. So I think, I know yesterday is going to be absolutely filled with videos and explanations. And we kind of laugh it off in the industry, but at the same time, I'm not your client, you're mine. Yeah. So you're not connected, you shouldn't be connected to hundreds of other brokers like I am. You should be connected to all of the people that you sell mortgages to. So it is relevant. It's just funny to, obviously, if you're in a broker market, You see, I saw yesterday, I've got 8,000 connections and 7,000 of them mentioned the base rate. But at the same time, they are very calming and reflecting on how that actually affects your mortgage at the moment, which is very little. So it's, it's a really interesting one. But I suppose, talk to me about what I'm interested in is because I've done it. So I only started on video and the like 18 months ago. It's changed the business incredibly. I would never look back. I don't know how people don't do it more in adding value. But I also know that fear that people have got, and you must get it all the time. So talk to me about like allaying the fears for these brokers that one, think they've missed the boat because it's other people are doing it, and two, they just don't like doing it because no one likes it first. I can't believe that you speak to many that are like, oh, I'm really comfortable with this.
Firstly, if I remember, I don't know if you want me to share this or not, but I think 2 years ago. I think I remember, and this might be really nice for your clients and for your listeners to hear, because you're here doing podcasts and videos and it looks like you're really confident and it looks like you were born confident and you were made for the camera. And actually,
I contacted you, didn't I?
Didn't you? Was that you did, didn't you?
I just said, I'm trying to do this video, I can't do it, like, no one's interested in what you've got to say and that kind of thing. Yeah, and then you're right. Then people look and think. I mean, even now it's nerve-wracking. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I remember that from 2 years ago. You called me, and I think you were expecting me to kind of pitch you my services. I think you were kind of expecting me to be like, do you know what? I can help you with video. I can do this and that. And I just said, Marcus, just do the video.
Like,
I don't understand. Like, what are you scared of? Like, just do the video. And you did. And that's because I did see something in you that I was like, you know what? I think you just needed that push or that encouragement. And I knew you could.
I knew I had to do it. So I knew I'm not a cold caller. I'm not interested in fighting with 50 other recruiters for business on a random call. You know, that's not me. I know I've got something to give. So you're right. It was a push, but for brokers especially, and anyone, and especially my generation, sounds like I'm ancient, but I'm 40. So we didn't grow up with people doing videos. I see guys in the gym now taking their top off, doing a video of themselves. And when that first happened, I was like, how have you got the shame? But actually it's just a norm. Like, so I do think the next generation of brokers have got less embarrassment over putting themselves out there because it's just you grow up with it. But What kind of ranges do you see for brokers that kind of need your advice? Is it similar?
So no way would a broker who's already confident and ready to get themselves out on social media, would they get in touch? Like, if they already know what they're doing, they already are a natural poster, they already, you know, use social media for personal reasons, then they're more than likely not going to get in touch. The ones that do get in touch is the ones that really don't want to be left behind, but are struggling to actually implement. So maybe they've tried doing a few videos themselves, realize that actually they're a bit not up to the best quality, or they don't actually get enough traction from the videos. So there's a skill element there that we need to address. So they're willing. That's all I need, really. I always say this.
If they've got in contact with you, at least they know there's a need.
Exactly. I don't actually, like you were saying about cold calling, I don't actually offer my services to anybody. I literally just wait to see who contacts me. Yeah, all my video, I put myself out there, put my content out there, and then those who are ready to buy or considering to buy, who have already made a decision in their head, I think I need this, then they will get in touch. Now, that's still a massive step that they've taken, a massive brave step. But actually, what's missing is the strategy. So what I then get is, yes, I know I need to do video, but how do I do it? What should I say on the video? How long should a video be? How do you start and finish a video? How do you make it catchy? You know, all that kind of stuff. And then the biggest problem, once I can teach anyone how to do that. But then the biggest problem that they come up with is, oh, but I haven't got time. And so what I do with the time issue, if they give me the time excuse, is I teach them how to create bulk content. So how to create more in less time. And then we also do that for you as well. So I had a broker just last week come down from King's Lynn. I've known him ever since I was in my BDM days. He's really shy, really, really vulnerable, really, well, not vulnerable in a bad way, but, you know, really like sensitive. Yeah. really introverted. And anyway, he came down from King's Lynn. We spent 4 hours together and he walked away with 40 pieces of content. That was 20 videos and 20 written posts to match the videos. So now, you know, he got over his fear because we coached him all the way through it during the day. You know, and it's a safe space. It's only me and the camera, right? No one else can see you. It's not live on the BBC. So we're able to go through that that process together, basically. It's a bit more hand-holding.
That makes sense. Do you know what? As you're saying that as well, I just think if we kind of reiterate that point to brokers that don't do it, is it in, like mine and yours industry? So I don't cold call, you don't cold call, we don't do business development. And that's because of video. That's because of getting your face out there. And because, do you know what, someone said to me the other day, we got on to just kind of do a lot of Teams meetings with like new businesses and stuff. And he said, oh, this is like being on one of your podcasts. So actually, to familiarize yourself with someone first is amazing. So we don't have to go through that trust issue that that brokers have with new clients and that kind of thing. You don't have to do that because they've already trust you, because they've called you, because you said something of relevance to them. So
exactly.
I think it's poignant in everyone's industry, but specifically if you can see it work. And you must see it work with the brokers. I mean, have you had like lots of success stories with your guys who've I bet.
Yeah, oh, it's just been honestly, I know it sounds really cheesy, but it really has been life changing. Like I get text messages every day. You got to imagine, guys, and brokers, you know, save a little space in your heart for BDMs out there, because I used to be a BDM and, you know, I used to get text messages and voicemails like, oh, you know, this case and this. And I do appreciate that it's stressful and that, you know, you turn to your BDM and everything, but sometimes it's out of the BDM's control. So shout out to the BDMs out there. But now I get text messages that are all like, oh, Roz, because of you, like today, a broker who has a very particular niche, you know, again, he's very introverted, very, very shy. And we only spent one day together. And then we had an online call. Long story short, he's now in two publications. He's been featured because I pushed him in the right direction. I said, look, get in contact with this person, phone this person, email that person. He's like, okay, Roz, if you think that's right. So then he did it. And then he sent me a screenshot saying, I'm in it. I wouldn't have done this without you. And I'm like, you see, it's not about the leads in the end. It's not about, oh, you know, I posted that video, I didn't get my five leads as you promised. It's about like the confidence, the belief in yourself, like actually believing that you can do this and that you have got something of value to show and share.
Yeah, I think that's really important, actually. I think you come from that helping background of BDMs, and much the same as in recruitment, mortgage brokers, we help people. Like that's where the joy comes from. You can do anything. But so if they can then see what they're doing is helping people, you know, that they're going to get that joy as well. Does make such a difference. Like you say, it's not, you can't gauge that return on investment of helping someone. Otherwise, like I said,
that is what we call, and I know you've commented on this before on my post, but that is what I call positive pollination. So I've got this strap line. Yeah, so I've made up this strap line in my business because it's all you know, honey and bee themed. Positive pollination for me is what me and you are doing right now. You know, we're spreading our positivity, our joy, our helpfulness, and then those seeds will flourish. So if I can help and if I can sow some seeds in a broker and help them flourish and help them pass on that positivity. So because of me, they've increase their confidence and they've increased their belief in themselves. Therefore, they're more likely to put themselves out there. Therefore, their community and network will be like, oh, thanks to that video, I now feel like I can trust someone with my finances or my money.
Even other brokers seeing their stuff and them deciding to do it, it increases the mean average of the industry you're in if you put stuff out there that makes people happy.
Yeah.
It's hard to quantify. I think it's harder for you to quantify. I mean, because you can't gauge a return on investment, can you? It's not like buying a lead. Again, I talked to someone yesterday, a similar thing, but they can't quantify the lead gen side. But I know you can tell them it works and you can tell them that people's business have gone up. But people kind of shy away from that. In say, what you buy a lead, costs £5, you make £7.50 from it. You can quantify that. I don't think they can quantify the return on investment in regards to building a brand and people seeing your face.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, absolutely. I never pitch or promote or guarantee a return on investment in a.
It's not about that.
Yeah, I don't position it that way. And actually, what I'm really lucky in, I guess, is that ones that do approach me get that. If I went into explaining that, they think I'm teaching them to suck eggs. So they actually get it. And when I've gone into explaining, you know, I don't, they're like, Roz, Roz, no, stop, don't justify yourself. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm like, oh, okay. So now I've just not even addressed the subject. If someone says, what's my return on investment? I then say, I'm sorry, it doesn't sound like we're for each other, because for me, it just sounds like they're going to be measuring me against a result that
Yeah,
I
how
can't
to measure
deliver.
it? Exactly. Yeah. Do you find that? Do you
Exactly.
turn much business? Do you get some business where you go, I just don't think we can work together? Because we have to do it. We've got certain
Yeah.
criteria for A clients, and I'm sure it must be the same for you in the sense that if you can't help someone,
Yeah.
you can't get any money. It's just
100%. Yeah, I've even more so for me, because I have a one-to-one model. I don't have a one-to-many, which many of my competitors do. So they have, you know, many clients in one room, in one group, and
Yeah.
that serves its purpose. That's really, really valuable for so many reasons. But I've chosen not to compete with that and not do that part of the service. So if I'm going to take on someone on a one-to-one basis, where that's going to take up a lot of my time and I'm going to be investing a lot in them, that it needs to be right. Like, we absolutely need to match in terms of like energy levels, mindset, as well as productivity. So yes, I can take the heavy lifting and I can do a lot of the job for you, but actually I need you to bring it. I need you to bring and match the energy. I need you to do some of the tasks that I'm telling you to do, you know. So the commitment needs to be there from both sides.
It's funny. Whenever you look at any productive marketing type of, so apart from buying leads, because there is lazy. You spend five. You know, if
Yeah.
you're going to convert something at 10%, I just, you know, actually, I'm speaking to people about that because I do think it's interesting. Because lazy is probably the wrong word. It's just very generic. Spend a pound, make
Very
£1.50.
transactional. It's
It's a slog.
very,
It's very, exactly
yeah.
that. Yes, yeah, transactional is the right word. But everyone I speak to is the same thing. Like, it's still hard. It's still a hard slog. Like, even in recruitment, like you still got to do your bit, you know. You can't, it's not all, people think, oh, if I just give you X amount of money and I'll be away. Like, people have to understand that every part of your business is hard to make, to be the best or to make money. Otherwise, we'd all give a 500 quid and make 600 and then keep going. You know what I mean? It's just, I just think there's no easy route, is there, to marketing? There's no secret. Like, no one is particularly better than anyone else. Obviously, you got charisma and stuff, which makes a difference. But actually, you're still selling the same product, so you've got to work a bit harder than someone else.
Yeah,
How does
absolutely. I think, you know, in your world, Marcus, with recruitment, which I used to do, actually, I used to do recruitment, but
Oh, I'm a
one thing
nice
that
person.
I,
You fooled me
yeah, that's why we get on, see?
onto that.
But like, you could set up like 15 interviews, and they're the amazing candidates. They're really, really of high quality, and then that candidate turns up to the interview. The company, the employer still has to bring the culture, the charisma, the attitude, you know, they've got to seal the deal. And it's the same as me. I can help you deliver the best video, put it out there on your social media, but if you don't engage, if you don't socialize, if you don't have enough connections, if you don't bring the personality, you know, it doesn't matter how amazing that video is, you're not going to really engage with people. So it's still
Do you
about
teach
people
people on
liking
that side of things
people.
as well? Do you have to kind of real drill down with some brokers about that? Like, it's about engagement. It's not just about this video either. It's about you have to allow put money or not money, sorry, you have to put your time into marketing. You have to answer
Yes.
people if they ask a question. You have to get involved in other people's conversations. You know, you
Yes.
butt in. You have
That's it,
to
Marcus. You know it. I think that there's a company this morning that made an inquiry. They're quite large, and they've got about
Who is it? I'm
12
joking.
advisors. And they just, you know, they've got 12 advisors, and this is exciting. So obviously, I can take a lot of their video production. I'm going to be doing a podcast with them. So I'm doing all the job. Like, I'm literally recording the podcast, editing, obviously me and my team. And then I made this final comment, and I'm so glad I made this comment at the end of the meeting, which could cost me the deal, by the way. So the deal's not over the line, but I know this could cost me the deal. And I said, by the way, I know I'm doing the majority of the work, but you know that that doesn't mean that your advisors just put their feet up now and don't log into LinkedIn again. And then his question was, is that important to you that they still, and I was like, yes, yes.
Is it important to me that you perform afterwards? Is it important to me that you get the return on your investment?
Yes, yes. And I said, absolutely, I will not take the project on if this is just going to be a case of me posting, 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 posting. And the, you know, the brokers need to log in and I will show them how in 20 minutes a day, just 20 minutes a day is all I need you for. But I'm going to take, I'm just going to take all the posting and all the content away from you. Yeah. And I'll do that bit. But I, you just need to spend 20 minutes engaging and I'll show you where, with who, how, what to say. And they were like, oh, okay.
You can't engage for everyone as well, can you? You physically can't. You can't do.
I can't do that.
What do people assume then? Do people assume that you were going to do it and then people would do the phone's just going to ring? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, some people do assume that. This company's lovely, by the way. The one I'm speaking about, he's on my side.
You don't know what you don't know, do you? It's not.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just.
No, this,
I kind
this,
of,
this
I with a smile on my face, but obviously. No, and I said with a smile on my face, but then I didn't engage with people for years. I spent 8 years on LinkedIn and didn't. I was lurking.
Yeah.
What's the point? Well, what an absolute waste of my time. But you don't know, do you? So all that's really important. I think, obviously, if someone doesn't know what they're doing, they should come to you. But is there anything, if you're a new person or new business, I ask everyone this, just in regards to, is there, what would be the number one kind of tip that you would give people to increase their presence? Is there any, I know there's no magic sauce, but what would you say is important to everyone?
Oh, all right, there isn't one thing. Everyone says that. You know why? Because it's not like it's an amalgamation of things. It's a general vibe that you get from someone's channel when they're being honest, authentic, when you really get to know someone's personality and where you really get like a sense of brand, both in the business and the person. So I'd say the number one rule is to absolutely stay consistent. But that rule doesn't apply if you're consistently doing the wrong thing. So that just kind of makes it redundant. If you're constantly doing the wrong actions, the wrong videos, then you're not going to get the success, right? You have to do it consistently and well enough in conjunction. So, so one thing is obviously...
Do it right.
Do it right, yeah. Actually,
consistency. Someone said this to me the other day, and I feel like it was the biggest compliment you could get. I mean, I think he was a bit pissed at the time. Hopefully he doesn't watch this. He said, you're exactly like you are online. And I thought that was lovely that he said it, because that's what you want. Because like, it's a consistency thing. You can't be a different brand when you're off of this. You can't be super helpful online and be a bit of a knobhead when you're off. It's got to be your personality.
So something similar to that, I say, how you do anything is how you do everything.
Amen.
So I genuinely believe in that. Like, you know, when you meet me in person, I genuinely feel like I bring the energy. But something interesting that did happen to me was a broker who had been following me for a year. Now, bearing in mind, this broker isn't that active on social media, so he might log in once a month and see me dancing and then think, oh, there she is again. So he probably hasn't followed all my story and my journey, but he certainly said that online I seem to bring a lot more of the performance, and then offline I'm actually a lot more like reserved and calm and a bit more serious, and I am actually known as quite a serious person, but fun, if that makes sense. So it's really interesting when people meet you they see you online.
The social media is your advertising window as well, so it's always you're always going to be a bit more extra than you are, but and also you've got a job to do offline. You know what I mean? It does make sense. You're going to be slightly different in regards to, you're not going to be dancing ever, are you? You've got an 8 second TikTok window.
I kind of do, but I don't. But yeah, like when I'm in an actual meeting, and I'm delivering like some one-to-one training. Yeah, I'm a little bit more composed and a little bit more, you know, formal.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's, you know, how you do anything is how you do everything. So I like to, you know, I do wear my heart on my sleeve. I do like to go the extra mile. I like to really be helpful. And, you know, a lot of the stuff that I do is actually for free. Like yesterday, I managed to get about 3 brokers in the press for free, without me, like, just basically something came across my desk. I was like, right, I'm going to send this, you know, again, positive pollination. I just sent it to my top brokers and I was like, look, do this. It's going to do really well for you. And now they're in the press and in their local news. And I'm just really happy for them. So, yeah, it's not about just constantly for having yourself being aware, you know, being aware of yourself and putting yourself out there. But it's what are you doing for others as well on social media? Like, how are you helping a wider community?
Yeah, I do think, without getting too woo woo and hippie about it, that does that's a general rule of the universe as well. Like, if you're a good person, then I don't think you have to be full Buddhist to understand that if you're a good guy, then you're good to people, good things happen to you. Like, it's not too much, it happens. And that's on the helpful side of things as well, isn't it? Help someone out. We give away, and you must give away, a lot of information for free, like this. You know, you're taking up your time for free, and everyone should appreciate it and get it, but you should see that back, shouldn't you? The rule of the universe is that you're helping people.
Yeah, no, I don't measure, like, again, talking about return on investment, I wouldn't come on a podcast and say, okay, so how many viewers do you have and how many people click on this? And, you know, it's just, to be honest, it's nice to talk to someone who isn't a client as well.
800 brokers, by the way. do you know what?
I'm just really happy to talk to someone that isn't paying me for my time. Like, I'm just genuinely talking to someone
who I enjoy. You know, I come across as well when I speak to people, like, you love what you do, so it's great. And I couldn't wait to get you on as well. It's not blowing smoke. I love it, speaking to people that love what they do, because we love what we do, and it makes life easier as well. Imagine the slog of coming in and not, like, just going, I've got to deal with this.
People, this is what I mean. The satisfaction is unreal. Like, I absolutely love it. I really don't think there's any days that I don't enjoy. I really don't. Like, there might be ups. I'm not saying everything is rosy. I think it's just how I deal with it. I have had some awkward conversations, and I can't really, like, go into it. But, you know, it is hard being, and I don't want to make it about this, but, like, being a woman in financial services, you know, there have been some difficult conversations.
I have 5 female employees, so we have this conversation. Like, there's a financial services, like I said, don't want to turn into that thing, but it's an interesting one. But again, it doesn't take away from the joy of what you do when people appreciate what you do.
Yeah. You've got to do it for, I always say, like, even if you're a broker and you've got, like, one client, let's say you've done 50 mortgages this year, right? You've done 50 applications. It's your first year as a broker. And you get, like, 49 amazing 5-star reviews. And then you've got that one person who's like, oh, you didn't do this. Like, who'd you do it for? Like, what do you get up for? Like, do you do it for that one person, or do you do it for the other 49? And that's
easy to get hung up on that, isn't it? So easy to get hung up on that. One person. I posted about the other day, I had my first person the other day tell me I was inept at my job. And I did do a little bit of a passive aggressive video when I should have, but it was relevant. It was about accountability, and probably my accountability, but really I was meaning his. But it's weird, isn't it, how it gets in your head. And I know I've helped hundreds of mortgage brokers, and they're in their favourite jobs, and it's changed their lives. It's hard to not to let that one in, isn't it?
Yeah, because I've seen it where, like, okay, so a hard day in my job would look like this, where I've seen brokers make inquiries with me. I've spent, like, an hour in the first introductory meeting. I've then gone away and put a proposal together for another hour. Then we've had another hour one-to-one to discuss the proposal. So that's 3 hours of my time. And then they ghost me, maybe, right? They let's just say they disappear. And then, because of social media, I've seen where they've gone. And I'm like, mate, you could have just said that that's where you went. Like, why are you hiding? And
it's, like, really strange, I think that's a new generation ghosting thing. People don't want to say, like, I'm really lucky in that first meeting, I get to talk about building people's businesses. So it doesn't really feel like work. But it is weird when people don't get back.
It is very weird. Thankfully, it doesn't happen a lot. I always give benefit of the doubt, because I think maybe something's gone on in their personal life or something's happened. And I always, like, I don't ever, like, try and make them feel bad about it, but I do have to check in and be like, hey, haven't heard from you in a while, like what's going on type of thing.
I would actually love it. I say this in the meetings, and it never happens. We go, if it's not of interest to you, and I could not work out why it wouldn't be because of what you want to build, I'd love to know your feedback. Because if it's me, I'd love to know. If it's cost, I'd love to know. If it's anything, like if it's something I haven't explained properly, I'd love to know. But it just, I don't know if it's like an embarrassing, or maybe I'm not as friendly as I thought I was. But people just don't, like if they don't want it, they just, or maybe it's just because it's like a product to them. Like we're emotionally involved in it, and it's just something they're not going to, like it's not clicking buy or something.
I would do that. I absolutely have used that kind of feedback closing tactic before, but to be honest, I am so busy with people that are ready today. Like I need to give my attention. So now I've started saying this in proposals. Whether you want it or you don't, I am chasing you. I am not chasing you. I don't follow up. And I know the magic's in the follow up. I was like, but please don't take this as me not wanting your business. I absolutely would love to work with you, but I've already spent an hour meeting with you, an hour on the proposal, an hour writing the proposal. Does what it says on the tin. I'm going to leave it in your court. If you want it, you let me know. Either way, like if you don't want it, it'd be great to know that you've taken another path or that you just want to close this chapter. But it's funny about
that. We always preach that the magic is in the follow-up, but we're the same because we need you to buy into us because it's a relationship. So if I'm forced to do it because I'm calling you every 5 minutes, it's like the old cold calling thing. They're not buying into you. It's just and then it's just a transaction, and that's what we try and avoid. So I get that.
And I want them to be motivated to do it because I know I'm going to bring it. I know I'm going to deliver. I just need you to know that you can do it as well. So I just say, look, this is on you now. You let me know if you want it. And so that kind of removes the whole follow-up process altogether. I will check in on them personally. Like I'll still follow their content and I'll send them a little message saying, oh, I'm really happy to see this, but I'm not chasing you to work with me because I know that I sometimes, can I just blow my own trumpet for a second, right? Because I don't do this enough. But I am definitely a rare, like who, other than the ones we do know of, right? Yeah. Other than us four, what other social media manager or content creator or marketing consultant has dedicated their whole business and service to serving you? Like we have made it our mission to look after you. I have tried so many financial copywriters, copywriters in general and social media managers who have quit because they've said this subject is so dry and boring. And if you're trying to look for a social media manager who will listen to your pensions and mortgages all day, every day for you, then be my guest to try and look elsewhere because I'm the only one who actually cares.
And that's the difference. You've got to care about industry. It's a little bit like generic social media to generic recruiters to generic anything. You don't love that industry, but it's really hard to talk something as passionately as we talk about financial services if later on I'm dealing with engineers, you know, because that I don't have the mindset for that. I'm not interested. So I don't know how you can work in an industry where you don't love it, you're not interested, but you know, we can harp on about that one. Why we're brilliant is, you know, something for another podcast.
Well, it's just, I mean, it's not about saying I'm brilliant. I'm just saying, I actually care and try and find someone that is good at what they do and cares about what you do. You know, it's a hard combination to find.
Yeah, but and then back to brokers as well. I think that's really important that they've got to show that to clients. You've got to care. Like, that's what the videos are showing. You care, you give a shit, because it's the biggest purchase, it's the biggest things people are going to have to put their money into. Yeah, it's the biggest problem people have got. Like,
exactly.
Give a shit. It's really important.
100%.
Good. I've taken loads of your time, Roz. I really appreciate it. We actually went about 10, 20 minutes over, I think, but I could chat to you all day, genuinely. It has been really useful. If people want to get hold of you, how do they get hold of you? Obviously, we'll attach all this, but how do they speak to you?
So I'm mainly on LinkedIn as Rosalia Lazara. There's loads of free content. We've actually got a free content challenge if you want to share that with people, Marcus. It's a 30-day content challenge. It's all DIY, but with supporting videos and emails to guide you every single day. So you're welcome to take part in that, just to basically take your content from boring to buzzing, as we say. So you can subscribe to that or just follow us on Instagram and YouTube and stay connected with the journey.
Amazing. Thank you very much. And thanks, everyone, all the brokers listening on Spotify, watching on YouTube. We really do really appreciate it. Hopefully Ross has added some real value into your marketing and made you think. That's kind of the point of this as well, has really made you think about how you're looking out there and your kind of your brand awareness and that kind of thing. So I appreciate your time, Ross. Appreciate everyone for listening, and I'll catch up with you soon.